This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. My name is Jennifer, the Dean of all things STEM and STEAM, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek inside the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. And now please welcome to the show my podcast partner, Galactic Space Geek, Jeff Gagne.
Hello, Jennifer, and hello, listeners. Wow, do we have an episode that is going to take us in a direction we haven't gone before? But our guest today is absolutely killing it in what she's doing.
Well, this sounds so exciting. What problem are we solving today?
How do you make clothes sustainable?
How do you make clothes sustainable? I see what you mean, Jeff. And I'm guessing there's a lot of science involved in this, so I'm very, very excited to get this started. Who is our guest today?
Our guest today is the fabulous Miss Louise Ulukaya, who is the founder of Moncur, a clothing brand for kids.
Welcome to the show, Louise.
Thank you so much, Jennifer and Jeffrey. I mean, this is the best welcome ever. I love the energy. This is amazing. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming here and talking to us. We are so thrilled to talk about sustainable clothing. Now, this is something that I think all of us can get behind. But what I love to do, if you've listened to the show, is I like to ask, did you always want to design clothing, even as a kid? Or is this something you came to later in life?
Oh my God. You know what? Until 4 years ago, I didn't know how to make a t-shirt. I mean, it was completely a foreign world. I always loved both sustainability and I've always been, in love with fashion and sustainable fashion.
But
never in a million years I could have imagined to do that when I was younger, growing up, or even just, it really started when I became a mother and when I was pregnant with myself. That's where it all started. I come from a hospitality background. I used to own restaurants, so it's a very, very different world. But yes, I was pregnant and my whole world changed.
Yes, which it tends to do when you have kids. Yes.
I know. On many degrees.
Exactly.
Okay, so you kind of skipped ahead for us. Sometimes we'll lead into, did you study what you are doing now? But obviously you just said up until 4 years ago, making a t-shirt was not in your radar at all. So when you became pregnant, what spurred you to focus on clothing and kids' clothing?
Yeah, so I was, shopping around, like getting ready for my first kid and as a new mom, getting the nursery ready and trying to do the best thing possible and getting very, crazy about, get the best product, get the most sustainable product. And I was shopping with my mom and one day I told her, I said, this is crazy that we cannot find any clothing out there that are both sustainable, cute and comfortable at the same time. You have to compromise on one of the three. And I thought to myself, it's not fair. It's not great. It's why you have to be cute, but then it's made in a country where both it's not sustainable and also at the same time, the labor is, child labor is such a big thing. At the same time, I would find clothes that are sustainable, but when you start feeling it, it's not comfortable. It's a little itchy. It feels rough. Yes. A lot of sustainable clothes, unfortunately, are not so soft and good looking, really.
Yes, that too. So since you were a kid, you've loved sustainability. So can you kind of tell us what that is and why you think this is so important?
Yeah, so growing up, I grew up in France. I was born in New York, but grew up in France. And really, when I was with my mom and my brother, we didn't really talk about sustainability on a daily basis, but we were living in a sustainable way. We never used any dryer for the clothes. We never used any chemical product. We always had clothes that were from cousins, and she would rarely buy clothes that were new. And so she was really careful about those things, but without saying, okay, you guys have to eat sustainable, you have to live sustainable. She was just making it as part of our life. And right. also in France, you don't use any AC. That's why the walls in a lot of houses are very thick. So in the summertime, it's cool. In the wintertime, it keeps the heat from the fireplace. And we were living not in the countryside. We were living in south of France, you know, in a city called Cannes, which is very modern. But it was very much of a way of living in school. Everybody was really living what we would call now a sustainable life. We were growing vegetables in our garden. So all the things like that were part of our daily life. And then when I moved to New York when I was about 20 years old and I was studying, it was a little bit of a shock because the way of living here is not as sustainable as it was back home.
It's much more consumer and you like buy things and throw that away and you don't reuse and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
exactly. A lot of fast fashion, fast consuming, buying vegetables that aren't in season, a lot of AC, a lot of just like putting the clothes and not drying them outside on the terrace, on the balcony, but using the dryer.
Right.
So all those things, it's a lot more of it's a different way of living, just not better or worse. It's just different.
Yes.
And trying to live in New York and living my life in New York, I always try to take the way I grew up in France and implement as much as I could here in the city. So we do a lot of composting. I have a little balcony here. So
we dry
the clothes. We do the composting on the terrace. But you also can do for people who do not have terrace, you can absolutely compost in your kitchen.
Yes, you can.
A lot of ways of doing that. So in my kids now, we use a lot of the cardboard and draw on them, try to make house instead of buying, you know, a plastic little house. And reuse all the material that we have in the house and give it the second life. So those are the things that on a daily basis I've been doing on my own. And since I have my own family now, that I try to educate my kids to be the same way.
That's fantastic.
And it sounds like you're doing a great job of it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the having grown up in Europe and in France that you seem to have been much more conscious of each of those choices, living just your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
I am very curious to know, when you were pregnant, about to become a mom, you're living here in America, things are much different. What was the spark that gave you I'm not finding a sustainable line of clothes that I want to put my new child in. What made you make the leap to, maybe I'll create my own? I got to tell you, I don't know a lot of people that are making that jump. Like, I looked around at lots of stores and Amazon and I couldn't find it. So, I guess Timmy's going to be uncomfortable. You made a completely different decision. What was that spark?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Jeffrey. And I mean, first of all, I feel like I'm a deep down entrepreneur. So that's the first thing.
Okay.
You know, I've had businesses before. I only worked for somebody for 2 years, pre-post-graduation, and I didn't like it so much. So I always had that fire in me to develop concept, to develop businesses, to run businesses. And so that part for me was a mix of being entrepreneur and love, you know, starting something, starting a business, being a leader in my team, and attached to the fact that I saw a gap in the market. I saw a need in the market for parents to buy better, to buy smarter, and to really bring it in a way that is as accessible as possible from every point of view, from the point of view of where can we buy the product? Yes, on our website, but in a year and a half that we launched our product, we are now in more than 60 stores in America. And
that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. And I really want to bring the clothes to as many markets, as many states in America, as many clothing stores as possible. So parents have the capacity to buy it anywhere they are and in any form they can, and make it really accessible and easy for them to make the shift. And to try it and to understand that, it's maybe a little bit more expensive. There is a premium attached to buying the clothes at Mon Coeur.
Yes.
But I'd rather pay a premium and buy one or two good t-shirts than buying 10 t-shirts that are half the price, but they are made in a third world country where there's a child labor, where there's a lot of chemicals associated in growing the cotton and where they don't really care about wasting. And from myself, visiting factories where we produce in Portugal, everything that we do is reusing every excess and integrating into making clothes out of it. So there's absolutely no waste in anything that we do.
Oh, that's awesome. Now that's the question that I have for you. But I do have to say, I get that you don't like AC. However, I live in Florida. I'm not sure I could live down here without the air conditioning. I'll just put that little plug in. It would be nice not to. But also, you said exactly what I was going to say, is you saw a gap in the market and you took the initiative to fill it. And I'd like to think that's what we're doing with Solve for Kids podcast. Let me just put that out there, because we're talking to all of these amazing people like you, and we're getting the information to kids and families about, maybe a child will hear your talk and be like, that's me, I'm going to make clothes as well, which is so cool. But now I want to get into, tell us a little bit how your clothes are made sustainably and kind of like what processes you go through and the fabrics you use. Because when we were talking earlier, I got very excited because I know there's a lot of science involved in how you do all of this.
There's been 3 years of research and development time during the time that I was pregnant 4 years ago, and I decided to launch Mon Coeur until I launched about a year and a half ago. And of course, there was the pandemic in the middle that slowed things down a little bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But that really allowed me to perfect the equation of our fabric and making sure that we're doing all the tasting, all the certification, and making sure that the traceability of our supply chain is really completely transparent. Yes. And that's completely open to consumers, so they can go to our website and they can really also see the way everything is made. Because that's also something, when you talk about sustainability, it can get a little bit not only complicated but blurry, and a lot of brands yes. start now saying, oh, I'm sustainable, but how are you really sustainable? What are you really making? Right. How are really the yes. clothes being made? And when you start digging, you realize that it's maybe sometimes more of a marketing than it is really an actual application. Yeah. When I started, I wanted to make sure that we are doing the things right. And so I went to Paris the first time, and there's that big show called Première Vision that really gather all the textile people and fabricants of the world.
Wow.
And that's when I started to partner with sustainable supplier, and we started to really do a lot of sampling and certificating the fabric, making sure that we are using only dead stock fabric for the cotton. So, okay. you know, when you go to factories and you see how, for example, a t-shirt is made, they have those big laser cut machine where they cut the shape right. of the t-shirt, and everything in excess goes on the floor and goes straight to the landfill, and it's never been used.
Oh, wow.
So that's what we call a lot of waste in the fashion industry. That's really amazing. And the first time I seen it, I was really heartbroken, because there's so much you can do out of it. And everything right. is pre-consumer, so it has never been touched, it has never been used, it's not dirty. So what we do is we partner with a factory that collects those dead stock fabric. And at the same time, we partner with a factory in Portugal that recycle plastic bottle to make polyester out of it. So we do our own combination of mix of, yeah, it's really fascinating the way you can do actually polyester out of plastic bottle. They shrink the fiber, they go through a process, and then you make, it's actually, it almost resembles to cotton. And then
is it soft too? Can I ask, is it soft?
It's very soft.
And then that's awesome.
Assemble it to cotton, and you can make your big piece of yarn, big piece of fabric, and right. it can be blend of, if you want only cotton, then it's only 100% cotton. If you want elastan, you add recycled elastan. If you want polyester for like outerwear fabrics and outerwear right. pieces, you add those recycled plastic bottle fabrics. And so we made our own yarn, and all the fabrication, the manufacturing is done 100% in Portugal, because
wow.
as I was mentioning before, for me, it was extremely important to make it in a country where workers are respected.
Right.
The minimum wage is there. I was there again a month ago, and you see those men and women so happy to be there. They've been working there for 30, 40 years. They're well taken care of. They have
wow.
breaks during lunchtime for 2 hours. They shut down the factories, the lights. They go for lunch for 2 hours, they come back.
Oh, that's
they're
nice.
They're also very
yes.
sustainable in the way of using the electricity, the equipment as well. And so, yes, that was the start of the process. And I'm designing everything myself. We
wow.
do that's... all our photo shoots and all that. And now we are in about 60 stores, which is amazing.
It that's... is for a year and a half, especially during the pandemic when starting all this. That's fantastic.
That's wonderful.
And you can find us at Neiman and Marcus for the past month and a half. We just launched with them, which we're super excited.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's
congratulations.
Wonderful. Excellent. Yeah. So I know as the founder, you're probably not all the way down in the weeds, but I'm sure you know some about it. You were just talking about how recycled plastic bottles, and that's huge in my daughter's world and in her middle school now, using less plastics in the world. So that is a very popular topic among kids and families. Can you go into a little more detail on how you recycle a plastic bottle into clothes that somebody might want to wear? Because I can imagine a lot of listeners and my brain is kind of going, I don't think I want to wear a shirt that feels like a plastic bottle.
It's a very interesting question. And it's true that when you think about it, you're like, how do you make fabric out of plastic bottle? And the process is really like I explained it a little bit earlier. It's they take those plastic bottle from ocean, from usually it's from ocean.
Okay.
And so
that's good.
They basically shrink it. They shrink the plastic so it becomes like those little powdery fiber.
Yes.
And that's what they use in making and blending it with the cotton together. So it's not the plastic bottle gets into like tiny, tiny bit of fiber.
It's tiniest really little fiber. Form. So then it just becomes the material.
Yeah.
Exactly. It becomes the material.
So how do you design them? Because you said before that you never thought you would ever, you know, design clothes. Like, how do you get your ideas to design clothes and make stuff that's really cool? Because while I appreciate fashion, I don't know that I could come up with colors and styles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so every season I come up with a general theme of the collection. Like, for instance, right now, the Fall Winter 22 is nature-loving collection. And really all the collection are around the natures and the animals. But this particular collection is really nature and forest. So you'll see prints related to leaves and critters and bugs, and we'll have also some cute little word on the t-shirts that relates to nature. And we have patches. We like patches, and kids love patches as well.
They
with them.
They do. So we do, they play with them, right? Which is a good thing.
They play, it's tactile.
Yeah, exactly.
I was looking at your website before we got on to look at some of the pieces, and what you were just saying about the fact that it's a nature theme, I was loving. And again, my daughter's going to love something. You have t-shirts and sweatshirts that say forest lover, ocean saber, good human. Yes. They're wonderful. I love them.
The good human, I'll make sure to send you both and to your kids. The good human is for adults and kids. And so we have the good human, and it's a petite for the kids one. And then grand in French, which means big in English, the adults. We have a couple of matching that are doing really well that the parents match. Without being too cheesy, we wanted to make sure that the parents can celebrate. Feeling good about it.
My kids are all grown now, but even when they were little, they would not have, like, we would go to Disney and you'd see all the matching families, and my kids would look at me and be like, never will we match you.
Okay.
No, I was always saying never until my son, who's four now, is like, Mama, he actually likes to match, but in that sweatshirt because it's navy and it's not like, that it's not like too tacky and all that, but I get it. Like, I think I have a very short window of doing that.
Probably do. You probably do.
I got to tell you, I think you just made my week, Louise. We are on this episode right now. An absolutely fabulous entrepreneur, fashion designer just said she was going to send me a piece of fashion that's not too cheesy. That is absolutely awesome. I am going to be telling everybody. I love it. So you said with your themes, did you say you do a theme every, was it month or season?
So it's really season. So we have two seasons per year. Okay. So the fall, winter, spring, summer. Right now, yes, we are in the nature-loving collection. The previous collection was, as you said, was all about the ocean. So it was a lot of the animals, especially for the baby, because we range from baby to kid. So baby from 3 months to 24 months, and then the kid from 2 to 8 years old.
Oh,
and
wow.
We're actually increasing to 10 years old next collection, because we've been a lot of asks on the older kids, which is amazing. But that collection was about, you know, little cute prints of crabs and things like that. So I come up with really a general inspiration, and then I do not know myself how to draw. So I have a team of designer that does all the drawing, because I'm not that good with the drawing.
The stick figures, that's me. I'm a stick figure person.
I wish I could be artistic like this, but no. I'm learning, I'm taking classes.
There you go.
So while we're on the topic of your themes, I feel like I have to ask, any chance you could whisper to us what your spring theme might be?
Absolutely. So the spring summer theme is going to be around all the elements of the world that you can think. So when you think of the moon, and also what's impacted by the climate change.
Wow.
So the sun, the moon, the raindrops, the rainbows, all the elements that you can think of the world, of the planet, is integrated in different fun prints. We are also super excited of launching Linen, which is going to be all organic, upcycled linen. So we can have beautiful linen dress for the girls, linen rompers, linen pants,
that are
very gender neutral, and swimsuit as well that are made from recycled fishing nets.
Holy cow!
You just keep adding new things. This is fabulous.
I mean, yes. Recycled fishing nets, so they're still plastic, so you make them the same way as you did the plastic bottles?
Yes. And they are SPF 50, so there is protection for the kids, because we want to make sure they don't get sunburn, right? That's important.
Yes.
This is fabulous.
Where do you get all of the raw materials? Like, where do you get the recycled fishing nets and stuff like that? Do people turn them in?
That's same as the plastic bottle. We partner with companies that basically collect it. So those nets comes from the ocean, from the bottoms of the ocean on the coast of Spain, the Balear Islands. And so that is very close to Portugal. And then we bring everything to Portugal, where we do the whole process of shrinking it. So there it's a little bit different. They have to warm it to become soft. And then
So not only is your clothing sustainable, but you're getting the material for your clothing by cleaning up the ocean, right?
That's right.
Because
that's such a big thing for the fishing nets. And I don't know, that amazing documentary actually on Netflix that talks about how also the fishing nets are really also bad for the bottoms of the oceans and really destruct all the corals and all that. So it's also a big, big issue for all the animals down there. It's really bad. And there's tons of them. So there's more and more brands and startups that are developing sustainable swimwear from fishing nets. And I'm super excited to see that, because it's so sad to see what it does to the nature under the sea. It's really, really a big problem.
It is a big problem. I was in Venice a few years ago. We went out for the day with a scientist, and kind of he took us around, and we talked about, you know, Venice and the flooding. And one of the things that they're dealing with as well is all of the abandoned fishing nets that just lay about. Yeah. And then they also, unfortunately, capture animals and, you know, all of these different things. It's so cool that you're using all of this in this clothes, which are soft. Now I have to go get some, right? Because I want to feel how soft these
I will absolutely send you some so you can see, because the beauty of it is that, just like for the rest of the clothes, I didn't want to make clothes that can feel different or not.
Oh, right. Because people will not wear it, right? Like, they'll want to support you, but if they put it on and it itches, they're going to be like, no, I don't think so.
especially when it comes to kids, I quickly realize, and me as a mom, you're not ready to compromise on cuteness and comfort. No matter, like, the planet is going upside down, those are the things that I had to keep up there as top priority. It has to look cute and it has to be comfortable. And then it is sustainable on top of it.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's fabulous.
I have to tell you, this is about the time where I usually ask about what is coming for the future. But I think you've already mentioned 10 or 12 things that your company is already walking into. I think I just want to say that I don't know, where did you get the epiphany for the name of your brand? Because Moncler is so aptly named.
Yes.
As my heart, French for my heart. Obviously, this came from you about to become a mother. But the fact that this brand is doing such sustainable work and taking care of our one and only home, the Earth, where did you come up with the name?
You summarized it really well. It's, you know, me becoming a mom. And Mon Coeur is the way I call my son. It's not his name, but it's, you know, what you would say in English. It's my sweetheart, my love, my being. Yes. It's really even stronger than my love. It's really my whole being. And I feel like also it's connecting to the Earth, which is your being. It's all of our being. It's what connects all of us. And so it's really a connection between both, between the kids that we love so much and the planet that we're hoping to leave a better planet, or at least a planet that can sustain all the generation to come.
That's right. Both beautiful and apropos for what you do.
Yes, absolutely. And again, I'll just plug again, look at all the science that you're doing in here. And this is one of the things we like to talk about on our show too. Science is all around you. And while you may not have gone into it thinking, I'm going to do something scientific, look at everything that you have done and helping the world.
Well, thank you so much.
Now, unfortunately, we're at the time in our show where we ask our guests to give us a challenge. So I'm very curious to hear what your challenge will be for our listeners, Louise. What do you have?
Yeah, so holidays are, you know, between Halloween and Thanksgiving, there's so much celebration and beauty happening at the same time. Unfortunately, a lot of waste. So
yes.
I'm challenging everyone to use all the Halloween costume that we've been using in the past days and weeks prior to that, to really hand me down to somebody. You can give it to family member, cousins, you can give it to friends. There's a lot, also all the schools I know right now are really collecting those to give to kids in need. So that would be an amazing thing to do, helping the planet. So keeping the landfill free of all those beautiful costumes that we've been using, and at the same time helping other kids to have fun with it throughout the year. So I think that would be an amazing thing to do.
Oh, yes. Reuse, recycle. Yes, exactly.
And you're exactly right. With the holidays coming, people get so busy and so frantic with everything that we have to do, whether it's Halloween, Thanksgiving, into Christmas and New Year's. I think maybe that sustainability does take a little hit on our priority list of, okay, just throw it away. It's easier. We'll start up again in January. But this is a quarter of our year, and we need to really keep that in the front of our minds all year long.
Absolutely.
You're so right.
This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for being on Solve It for Kids, Louise.
Thank you, Louise.
Thank you, Jennifer and Jeffrey. You guys are just awesome, I have to say.
thank you.
I love it. And I'm your biggest fan. And thank you so much for having this platform for entrepreneurs like myself to express. And this was amazing. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Jen, you were absolutely right during that intro. There is so much science that goes into Mon Coeur and sustainable clothes and everything that Louise is doing with this incredible brand. That was fascinating.
I thought that was so interesting how they use fishing nets that they've kind of gotten out of the ocean, right? That they're abandoned, and now they're turning it into clothes. I mean, that's just so fun and so, you know, reusable, recycling, all of the things that we want everybody to do sustainably. So, and I also love her challenge, right?
Yes.
Like turning in your old clothes. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Whether it's costumes, clothes, seasonal clothes. You know, I live in Colorado. I know you don't have any seasons down there in Florida, Jennifer, but
not much.
But every single one of us could go through our closets and go through our houses. There are at least a few pieces that we don't need to keep in our house. And there's definitely ways that we cannot put them in the trash, whether it's the Goodwills, whether it's donating to schools, whether it's recycling those clothes so they can be turned into new sustainable clothing lines just like Mon Coeur.
Right. This is so fabulous. So if you do any of those things, or if you want to just comment on the podcast, be sure to tag us on our social media. We are at KidSolve at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget to check out our website, solveitforkids.com, for this episode where you will get to learn more about Mon Coeur and Louise and all of the cool stuff she does with making clothes sustainable.
That's right. And until next time, you will find Jen and Jeff shopping on moncur.com for our own sustainable clothes. Until next time, you'll hear us on Solve It for Kids.